Interruptions. Aren't they irritating? You have your plans made for the day, and you're in the throes of getting on with it. And suddenly, someone comes in your office, or one of the kids needs you, or your body says, uh-uh. All your plans go out the window, and there you are, feeling a myriad of emotions, anger, frustration, and at least for me, a bit of being overwhelmed. Yes, interruptions can be annoying. But I want to assert that interruptions are God moments. Interruptions give some light on priorities, on slowing down, on recognizing God in action. And that's what these two stories in Mark have. We start with Jairus, and then it's interrupted, and then we're back to Jairus. The interruption sheds light on who Jesus is and on God's actions. That first story is about Jairus. He was an important and maybe wealthy man who was a synagogue leader. He comes to Jesus as soon as Jesus gets out of the boat. He's a man in a hurry. His 12-year-old daughter is near death, and Jairus asked Jesus to come quickly to heal her. His faith is so deep that he knows that Jesus can do this healing, but he must hurry because his daughter is near death. As Jesus was hustling through the crowd with Jairus, a woman touches his robe. She is a woman who has been bleeding for 12 years. She has been unclean for 12 years. No one could touch her. She could touch no one, or they would become unclean. She'd spent all her money on doctors with no good result. Jesus was her last hope. She doesn't want to call attention to herself, but she believes in Jesus and Jesus' power to heal. With the crowd jostling all around her, she hopes no one will notice, and she touches Jesus' robe. But Jesus knows. He turns and asks, "Who touched me?" And I'm sure the disciples are rolling their eyes and saying, "Look at the crowd. Everybody is touching you." But Jesus knew what he meant. As his eyes scan the crowd, the woman comes forward, confessing that she was the one who had touched him. Jesus didn't castigate her for, quote, making him unclean. He looked with compassion on the woman. He reaches out his hand and says, "Daughter." The woman's bleeding certainly did stop the minute that she touched Jesus' robe. And that is the healing she wanted. But that wasn't the only healing Jesus offered. He touched her. He called her daughter. He declared that she was clean. She was restored to community. And more importantly, she had an intimate relationship with Jesus. In the meantime, Jairus is standing there, wringing his hands. He wants Jesus to hurry. He's of the opinion that this woman's 12-year-old disease or ailment certainly could have waited until Jesus had healed his daughter. You know, that's what happens when we get anxious and afraid. You say and do things that later you realize were not at all helpful. After Jesus had restored the bleeding woman, the new daughter, to community, he was ready to get on the road with Jairus. But some people came up just at that moment and said the child had died. There was no need for Jesus to come now. Jesus looked with compassion on that grieving father, and he said, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Jesus took only a few people with him to attend to the child. He took her by the hand and said, "Talitha kum," which could be translated, "Get up, little girl," or "Rise up, little lamb." Either way, the child gets up and walks around. The parents and disciples were amazed, and Jesus tells them, "Don't tell anyone." These two stories beg the question that all of us ask sometime in our lifetime: will I be healed? It pushes us to ask exactly what is healing? What does it look like? And then again, what needs healing? Perhaps not the obvious ailment. It comes down to who you believe Jesus to be. Miracle worker, great teacher, wonderful teacher, or Jesus, God incarnate, God in the flesh. Now that's certainly not based on reason. It's based on faith and trust. But I gotta say, trusting God comes hard sometimes. We grasp it and then we lose it. And then we reach out again. But truly, it is not our reaching out that counts. It is that God always reaches out to us. And that can be frustrating when you are in the throes of illness or crisis. I've never had a child die, but I have witnessed the agony of parents who grieve. I've done funerals for children, and it's difficult to reassure those parents that God is with them. But that's the truth. While I can't identify with the child or the grieving parents, I can certainly identify with the woman. She had gone to doctor after doctor, and not one of them was helpful. In fact, she grew worse. In my case, my illness came on suddenly. We had flown back to Ohio to celebrate a late Christmas with my children in January of 2019. It was the worst weather for traveling. There was a blizzard, traveling by car was treacherous, and the temperature when we left Detroit was below zero. We got back to Albuquerque on Monday about midday, and by that evening, I was in the hospital, not able to breathe. Since then, I've been to scores of doctors, but to no avail. No one can seem to figure out why my lungs are inflamed. I used to walk really fast. I used to lift heavy things. I used to be the ever-ready bunny, not stopping, always on the go. I really wanted my life back. I became dependent on oxygen 24/7. I felt like I was tied down, trapped in my own body. Talk about interruptions. I didn't imagine at 68 that my life would be like this. My plans for retirement were put on the shelf. Recently, a friend of mine did a healing service with prayer, laying on of hands and anointing with oil for me. It wasn't an immediate healing, but it was healing. I felt better every day since then. There could be other explanations. There is research about the crisis of inflammation in our country. The food we eat really does make a difference. So I follow a new way of eating. Maybe that's the reason I feel better. But I am convinced that God healed me in God's own time and in God's own way. Will I ever get off of oxygen? Probably not. Will I stop coughing? Maybe. But that's not the healing that I needed, and God knew it. I needed to slow down and reflect on what is most important in my life. It isn't energy level or strength or personal power through vocation or anything else. I needed to recognize and celebrate God's claim on me as God's beloved child. This may not make any sense to you, but for me, it does. I feel whole again. This opportunity to preach is part of my healing. And I thank Pastor Kristen for allowing me to do this. I may not jump up and down or lead 5 Bible studies a week. I may not return to the way I was before January 2019. But I think I'm even better. I have been healed in my inmost part. I thank God for that interruption in my life. And I thank God that God is walking with me through all the ups and downs of life. Thanks be to God.